What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Northview Church Podcast. We're so glad that you're taking time to listen to today's message. Northview is a place for you to grow closer to others and to grow closer to God. We would love to meet you in person and have you visit us at any one of our campuses. You can find a campus near you or get more information about Northview by visiting us online at northviewchurch.us. Now, let's join our senior pastor, Steve Poe, for this week's message.
So I heard about this lady who was, like most of us at Christmas, she was, you know, behind, trying to catch up, and she realized that she hadn't sent out her Christmas cards. And she had a list of about 49 people that were close friends of hers, and she didn't want to miss them. She didn't want to make the mistake of not sending them a card. So she ran down to the store, and there, sure as the world, they had boxes of 50. Christmas cards of 50. And so she just grabbed a box and she went home and she sat down and she began to address each one of those cards. And then she put a stamp on them and dropped them in the mail. And she was glad to have finally got that done just a couple days before Christmas. Well, as I said, she had 49 friends, so there was one card left over. And so it happened to be that on Christmas morning, she walked through and she saw that one card that was still laying there, and she happened to pick it up because she hadn't read them before. And so she picked the card up and it read this: "This card is just to say a little gift is on its way." And she realized, she was horrified and realized that she had just now promised to give all of her good friends, all 49 of her good friends, a gift, and she had not planned on getting any of them a present. Well, guys, in our case, God has actually given all of us some very special gifts. He's given all of us some very special blessings. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about what those might be in your life and what they might be in my life. Today, we're going to talk about being known. Everybody wants to know and be known. And next week, we're going to talk about the gift of purpose. And then on Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about the gift of God's presence. So let's start today by talking about the gift of being known. I think some of you are old enough to remember the comedian Bob Hope, and even if he wasn't alive when you were, you've maybe heard of him or know who I'm talking about. And one time he was talking about some reading that he was doing and astonished to discover some of the facts about the human body. He said, "Today I found out that my heart beats over 103,000 times a day. My blood travels 12,000 miles a day. I breathe 20,000 times, and I inhaled 388 cubic feet of air. I ate 4 pounds of food and I drank 3.2 liters of liquid. I perspired 1.43 pints of fluid. I gave off 85.3 degrees of heat. I generated 450 tons of energy and I spoke 7,000 words. I moved 750 major muscles and I exercised millions of brain cells." He paused and he said, "No wonder I'm always tired." And yet, friends, in all seriousness, I don't think most of us realize just how intricate and wondrous the human body really is and how blessed we really are. I know at times we look in the mirror and we're not always happy with what looks back at us. But the human body is an amazing gift from God. And of course, the older we get, the more aches, the more pains we seem to experience, and the more times, well, this old body just malfunctions. But I still think it's absolutely incredible how God has put all of this together. I mean, think about how the skin on our bodies covers everything. It provides a protective shield against bacteria and viruses, and it protects your bones and your internal organs. Your skin also has sweat glands that helps to eliminate toxins, and it helps to cool your body. And then, of course, there's your brain. Do you realize your brain only weighs about 3 pounds, and yet it stores about 100 trillion bits of information over the course of 70 years? Guys, that's the story. That storage capacity is equal to about 500,000 sets of Encyclopedia Britannicus. And yet it uses less power than a 100-watt light bulb. Your brain is serviced by about 37 miles of nerves that send impulses through your body as rapidly as 270 miles per hour. And then there's your ears. A piano has 88 keys, but each of your ears has a keyboard worth 1,500 keys. In other words, they're so finely tuned that you can actually hear your own heartbeat. Your eyes are capable of seeing a small candle flame from 2 miles away on a clear, dark night. And it can distinguish among more than 300,000 different color variations. Your nose can smell one drop of perfume diffused through a three-room apartment and can detect 1 trillion smells. Is that incredible or what? I want you to listen to what David wrote. He said, "Thank you for making me." I love this passage. It's in Psalms 139. And he says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship, it's marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." Listen, guys, that was written hundreds of years before Christ was even born. And I will promise you that David was not aware of any of these facts about the human anatomy. And yet he is so impressed with the wonder of God's gift of life that he spoke of it as being woven together. And he's using the imagery of a craftsman who skillfully weaves a beautiful, colorful tapestry. David is saying, "Look, I didn't just happen. I'm not an accident. I have value, I have worth, and I matter to God." In fact, let's look at the first 6 verses here of Psalms 139. It says, "Oh Lord, you have examined," again, this is David writing. He says, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it." That's a little scary, right? "You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to even begin to understand." Listen, guys, everybody wants to know and be known. You know, I read a story that happened many years ago about a young boy by the name of Johnny Sylvester. And this happened many years ago, and he was kicked in the head by a horse, and doctors were afraid that he wasn't going to live, that he wasn't going to make it. And so Johnny told his father, he said, "I wish I could just see Babe Ruth hit a homer before I die." And so immediately they send a telegram to the New York Yankees in St. Louis, where they're playing for the Cardinals in 1926 World Series. Well, a few days later, Johnny receives these autographed baseballs from both the Yankees and the Cardinals, including a baseball from Babe Ruth, and he had written these words on it: "I'll hit a home run for you in Wednesday's game." Well, instead of hitting one home run, he actually hit 3. Well, the doctor said the effect on that boy's condition was absolutely a miracle. A few months later, during spring training, an uncle of the boy approached Babe Ruth, and he thanked him for what he had done for his nephew, Johnny Sylvester. Babe Ruth smiled and said, "Well, you're very welcome." After the uncle walked away, Babe Ruth turned to the reporters who were standing around, and he said, "Who in the heck is Johnny Sylvester?" Well, guys, aren't you glad that God never forgets your name? Aren't you glad that God never forgets who you are? David says, "God, you know everything about me." Friends, this is a whole lot more than just knowing who you are. In fact, in verse 2, he says, "You even know my thoughts. You even know what I'm thinking right now, God. You know, before I even speak it, you know what it is." I'm just trying to get you to see, guys, that God knows everything about you, and he loves you just the same. Because I don't know about you, but when I think about that, it's a little bit intimidating. It's a little bit scary when I think that God knows all of my thoughts, because all of my thoughts are not the best. There are sometimes I'm thinking thoughts that I really should ask somebody to forgive me for. I'm thinking thoughts that I really should probably apologize to someone for. And I think, well, nobody knows what I'm thinking, but the reality is God does. He knows what I'm gonna say before I say it. Now, that's crazy, but true. Well, David says it's a wonderful thing. Now, remember, David arrived at this conclusion that he was a valuable individual because he recognized and believed that he was created by God. It was God that gave his life value. It's God who gave him worth. And my friends, it's God who gives your life value and worth as well. We went to the bank and got a brand new crisp $20 bill. So this is, it doesn't even have a wrinkle in it. I mean, this is a crisp $100 bill. Now, just for illustration purposes, if I were going to come up to you and offer you this $20 bill, no strings attached, I mean, how many of you would take it? Some of you don't need any money. I got a feeling all of you would take it. If I said, no, really, I just want to give you $20, you would take it. Well, what if I tore it? Would you still take it? How many would still take it? Well, what if I crumble it all up? How many would still take it? Well, what if I got it all dirty and took it outside and ran it through the dirt, you know, just made a mess of it, stomped on it. Now, how many of you would still take it? Why? Why would anyone want this torn up, dirty piece of paper? Because it still has the same value, doesn't it? What makes it valuable? Is it the paper? It's some really unusual, unique paper. Is it the paper that makes it so valuable? No. No. Is it valuable because it has a 20 on it? We say it's worth 20 because it has a 20 written on it? No. So then why is this crumbled up piece of paper worth 20 bucks? Because the creator of this $20, the U.S. government, tells us that it's worth $20. And it doesn't matter what's happened to it. It doesn't matter what's done to it. It's still worth $20. In fact, on Monday, we're going to take them to the bank and hand them this. And they're going to give us a nice crisp back in return. Why? Because they have the same value. It doesn't matter whether it's clean and crisp or whether it's all wadded up, torn, and dirty. It doesn't matter. It has the same $20 value. That's the only reason, because the U.S. government who created it says it's worth it. Now, you know, there's a lot of high-tech printers out there today and copiers out there today, and I'm sure that I could print off almost an identical $20 bill that you and I could not tell the difference. I know professional counterfeiters or professional people that look for counterfeiters, they could tell just by feeling it. They know that. But I'm just saying, for you and me, if I went out to some copiers and printed that and held up a real one and a fake one, we would not be able to tell the difference. So what's going to happen if I take that fake $20 out that you and I can't tell the difference? What if I take it out and I try to use it or I try to spend it? Well, they're going to arrest me. Why? Because I've tried to pass it off as if it held value. But it doesn't hold any value because it was not created by the U.S. government. So again, no matter what sins, listen to me, friends, no matter what sins you have committed, no matter how you've messed up in your life, no matter how you've blown it with your family, no matter how many wrong choices that you've made, you have value. You have worth. You are worth dying for on the cross. Because you were created by God. And you were created. God knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. And he created you to be in relationship with him. He created you to be in fellowship with him. And that makes you, listen to me, guys, wrap your brain around this. That makes you priceless in God's eyes. He loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. You see, if we were not created by God, then we have no reason to believe that we have any greater value than any other living creature. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, not all flesh is the same. Not all flesh is the same. Paul says, people have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. God created us in his image, and he created mankind. Listen, he created humankind with a body and a soul and a spirit. He created us, again, humankind to be in relationship with him. And yet our society today doesn't buy into that. Our society today doesn't believe that. They have aggressively removed God from its value system as well as from its laws and morals. God and his standards have been continuously challenged by humanistic worldviews as well as political correctness. And as a result, society seems to be confused on what has value and what doesn't. Let me just give you one example. I could literally spend the rest of my time giving you specific examples, but let me just give you one. Did you know that there is a $250,000 fine? I looked it up today to make sure that it hadn't changed. There is a $250,000 fine and 5 years in prison for destroying an eagle egg. Now, I know those are cool birds, but a $250,000 fine and a 5 year imprisonment for destroying an eagle egg. And yet, listen to me, there is no penalty for aborting a baby. In fact, it's actually legal in our country. In our society, an unborn eagle has more value than an unborn child. Is that messed up or what? But again, if God didn't really create us, now again, I'm just trying to say, if you put yourself in the worldview, if you put yourself in the mindset that doesn't understand we were created by God in His image, if God didn't really create us, then there's no difference between us and any other species. But then, guys, but when that type of thinking takes hold, a society begins to be governed by a concept known as utilitarianism, which is meaning all actions are all right. All actions are right if they are useful or if they benefit the majority of people. Or it's also the belief that people are only as valuable as they are useful. Therefore, if people cease to be useful, then they cease to be valuable. You know, I don't know if you experienced this, but I can remember back in high school psychology class. In fact, I was trying to think about this today. I think they also did it in junior high, in one of my classes, but I remember it specifically in high school psychology class. They gave us a quiz on situation ethics, where you had to make a choice on who was more valuable. And so you were given this scenario where the world had been destroyed by a nuclear holocaust, and you are one of only 10 people that has survived. You are only one of 10 people that are still alive. And yet you've discovered there's not gonna be enough food for all 10 of you, and you're not gonna be able to grow enough food for quite a while. So only 5 people are gonna be allowed to live. So you've got 10 of you, and you've got to choose 5 people that are going to be allowed to live. And you have to decide, so your task is you have to decide who that's going to be. And so they give you their occupations. I remember they gave us occupations. I don't remember what they all were. Maybe one was a doctor, a policeman, a woman of childbearing age, and her son, whatever. But the goal of this test is supposedly to get the student to reveal how valuable they thought each person would be in a struggle for survival. But guys, the underlying concept of that exercise was that the person's value was based upon their usefulness. That's the underlying concept of that exercise. That the person's value was based upon their usefulness. If they weren't useful, listen, if they weren't useful, and if you think about it, you see this going on in our culture. If they weren't useful, then they weren't valuable. Listen, friends, do you understand? Please hear me on this. Do you understand that God condemns that type of thinking? Because to God, all mankind has value. Why? Because again, all mankind has been made in His image. I mean, let's go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. So right out of the gate, first chapter, so God, He created human beings in His own image. So we talk about this. God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Then we jump to chapter 2 of Genesis. It says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. For that reason that I just read you, God values all people. Not some people, not just the attractive people, not just the rich people, not just the talented people, not just those that are athletic, not those that are actors, not those that are just musicians, not those that are intelligent. No, God values us all. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter how society is going to try to say this person is more valuable than this person based on what they do in our culture, how important they are in our culture. That's not true in God's eyes. God values us all, even those in our world that people might overlook because they think they're no names. They think they're nobodies. In Exodus 22, it says, do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. Don't take advantage of the widow or the orphan. They have no less value. In other words, they are no less value than you are. James 1:27 says, pure and genuine religion, pure and genuine, the real deal, real Christianity, in other words, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So when we go out with the Dollar Club and we bless single moms, when we go out with the Dollar Club and we help those that are struggling with, for whatever reason, that's pure and genuine Christianity. That, my friends, is what God has called us to do. So the purest of Christianity is looking ways to help the down and out. It's looking for ways to help the orphan and the widows that are in distress. So guys, I'll say it again. Every one of our lives, I don't care, you may be struggling with insecurities and you may feel like you're a nobody and nobody cares about you and nobody should care about you. I'm a nobody. I'm just fortunate to be here tonight. I'm just pleased they let me in the door. That's a lie of the enemy. Every one of our lives are a gift from God. We are all unique in how God fashioned us and made us, from our gifts and talents to our personalities and experiences in life. And yet, if some of you were honest today, you would say, well, Steve, I don't feel so fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, look at me. I'm not very attractive. I'm bald, too skinny, too fat. I've got big ears. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too old. I have all kinds of physical problems. I've got pain in my body. I've got disease in my body. Honestly, Steve, I feel shortchanged. Friends, think back to the $20 illustration. I don't care how crumbled up you feel, because your feelings will lie to you. I'm trying to tell you the truth of God's word. So I don't care how crumbled up you feel and how dirty you might feel. You are precious in the sight of God. God loves you. You have value. You have worth because you are a child of God. Listen, our value doesn't depend upon our strengths or our weaknesses. Our value depends upon our Creator. We are not valuable because of what we've done. We are valuable because of what He did. Your value to the kingdom. Now let me say this, of course, our value to the kingdom of God is increased in direct relation to our obedience or to how much we allow God to use us, but it doesn't affect His love for us. God just loves you. I don't care what mistakes you've made. I don't care about your family. You say, you just have no idea about my family. I don't care. It doesn't matter. God loves you, period. He loves your family. He loves every one of us. And the only way we can increase our value, not our love, God loves us ultimately, period. But the only way we increase our value is when we decide to be obedient to God. When we decide we're going to allow God to use us with the gifts and talents that He's entrusted us with. In Zechariah, it says, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Friends, throughout scripture, when God wanted something done, He chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. I have 7 grandkids. And on Christmas morning, especially when they were younger, they're getting older, but especially when they were younger, they could not wait. I mean, they were all so anxious and ready to open up all their Christmas gifts. Well, one year, I remember I had one of my granddaughters opened up a toy, And she was not interested in opening up anything else. She was so excited about this particular toy, she wanted to play with it right then. And so she was determined. It's like, well, you got more gifts. I want to play with this toy. And so she goes to turn it on, and it doesn't work. And so we look into it, and it needs batteries. Been there? And so I'm going through the drawers of the house trying to find batteries, and we've got no batteries to make this toy work. So my granddaughter can't play with her new toy because she lacked the power to turn it on. It would have been so easy to have bought batteries at the same time that I bought the gift, but I overlooked the obvious. Well, friends, don't overlook the obvious this Christmas, because the power for us as Christians happens when we invite Jesus Christ to come into our life. When you know him, he empowers you. We were created by God to be in relationship with him. But it's only, listen to me, it's only after we acknowledge our sins and invite him into our life that our life is transformed. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. So guys, if anyone is in Christ, if you've invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, you are a new creation. All the mistakes you've made in the past, all the blunders you've made in the past are forgiven and forgotten. The old has gone, but the new is here. So again, we were created by God to be in relationship with him. He designed each one of us with a unique purpose in mind. But it's only when we lay a hold of his power and focus on him that we realize our full potential. I know some of you are saying, but Steve, you just don't know. Seriously, you talk about it, but you really don't know all the mistakes I've made. You really don't know all the things I've done in the past. Listen, guys, we are products of our past, but we certainly don't have to be prisoners to it. We all have a history. Every one of us in this room have a history, but we don't have to be prisoners to it, because God's purpose for your life was not limited by your past mistakes or your past sins. Some of the greatest superheroes in Scripture were flawed individuals. In fact, all of them. I mean, if we had the time, we could go through and we could talk about the giants of faith. We could talk about the heroes of faith that are talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. And every one of them had a flawed past. Every one of them blew it. Every one of them had made mistakes. Just go back if you don't believe me. And look, Jacob was a liar. Moses was a stutterer. King David had an affair. Elijah suffered from depression. Abraham was too old and David was too young. Timothy was a worrier and Thomas had his doubts. Peter was afraid of death. And Lazarus, well, my goodness, Lazarus was dead. That's a big problem. If God can do great things, listen to me, if God can do great things with men and women like these, what do you think he can do with you? What do you think he can do with me? Listen, you are God's workmanship. He knows you and he created you. Why? For good works. He knows you and he wants you to know him, and he created you for good works. Ephesians 2 tells us that. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Before you were even born, God had a purpose and a plan for your life, something he wanted you to do. But if we're not obedient to him, you're gonna miss it. Guys, God's given us a great gift in the life that you live. And he intends to give you an even greater gift to use for him. Next week, we're gonna see that God has given us the gift of purpose. This is so important to understand, guys, because without purpose, listen to me, without purpose, life is motion without meaning. It's activity without direction. It's events without reason. Without a purpose, life becomes trivial, petty, and pointless. So in order to enjoy this gift of life that God's given us, we need to understand God's purpose for our lives. Because the bottom line, my friends, is that you matter to God. I don't get, you say, I don't feel like I do. It doesn't matter what you feel. Your feelings will lie to you. But you matter to God. He loved you to the point that he was willing to die for you. He loves you and he wants you to love him. He knows you and he wants you to know him. And I'm just telling you that that can happen today. Because really, that's what the Christmas story is about, isn't it? I mean, we know that in the very beginning, we saw Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, and we know that in the very beginning, God created us to be in fellowship with Him. He created us to be in relationship with Him, and so He puts us in the Garden of Eden, and He says, man, it's all yours. This wonderful place is all yours. The only thing I don't want you to do is eat of the tree. And what do? Right out of the gate, they disobey God, they sin against God, and they eat of the tree. And because they do that, sin enters our world, and the relationship with God is broken. And because that relationship with God is broken, it kept mankind from being in that fellowship, that relationship that God created us to be. And so all through history, we can see it. If you read all through the Old Testament, you can see man trying to create bridges back to God, but it never works. You know, we try to build a bridge of going to church. We try to build a bridge of giving money. We try to build a bridge of being a good person. All those efforts are in vain. They don't work. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Did you hear that? No man comes to the Father but through me. There is no other way to God. There is no other way to build a bridge except through Jesus. Why is that? Because He got up from His seat in heaven and He set aside His deity and He came as that baby in a manger. That's the Christmas story. That's why He came. And then He lived a life without sin. The scripture tells us in several places, without sin. And then He willingly went to the cross. Not for His sins, He never sinned. He willingly went to the cross for your sins and for my sins. And it goes on to say, and then, of course, He died on the cross, and then He rose from the grave 3 days later to conquer death. And then the scripture says, but as many as receive Him, to them He gives the right to become sons and daughters of God, even to those that believe on His name. And so it's as simple as receiving a free gift from God. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's as simple as just saying, you know what? God, forgive me and come into my life.
Thanks again for joining us on this week's podcast. If you have any questions or would like to speak with a pastor, please connect with us on our website or through social media. You can also find a Northview location to visit in person by going online to northviewchurch.us and then selecting the locations page. We're so glad you joined us today, and we hope you have a great week.